Radio Daily for Not Monday and, more importantly, Election Day. Now, granted, it's not one of the big important ones like president or governors for a lot of states or whatever, but you probably have some election happening. In Virginia, the entire General Assembly, every seat is up. Today, you can make all kinds of things happen. So wherever you are, vote. I will tell you now, I really overall don't care how you vote. I just want you to participate in the system. Please go vote. If you'd like to know how I would like you to vote, email me and I'll tell you. Hi, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. Though I think you can probably figure it out. You know us, you love us, all kinds of places. The folks bringing it to you today, well, that right there, that's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Sometimes crazy is the best way to go.
And that's how he spends his weekends. I spend mine this way. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Everybody, I'm
Roger Day indeed. What happened, sir?
In 1824, Stephen Van Rensselaer founds the first engineering college in the United States, the Rensselaer School in Troy, New York. It will open on January 3rd, 1825, and the first class will graduate with 10 students on April 26th, 1826.
Spoilers. 1852, the first U.S. National Civil Engineering Society, the American Society of Civil Engineers and Architects, is founded. 12 engineers attended the first event when the society is founded, though an invitation had been extended to all civil engineers in New York.
1895, George B. Selden of Rochester, New York, receives the first U.S. patent for a gasoline-driven automobile.
1901, Henry Ford receives a patent for a motor carriage, which of course is completely different.
1906, Marie Curie becomes the first female lecturer at the Sorbonne University in Paris, France. Probably has a less Italian-sounding name.
1922, archaeologist Howard Carter excavates a further 11 steps and exposes a large portion of the plastered and sealed entrance to Tutankhamun's tomb in the Valley of the Kings, which looked remarkably like Arizona.
1930, a demonstration of the Baird closed-circuit television system at the Hairdressing Fair of Fashion, held November 5th through 13th, includes the first advertisement, a short promotion of the Eugene method of permanent hair weaving.
1940, American election returns are broadcast on television for the first time. Before that, you had to sit around your Marconi.
1943, Universal Pictures releases the horror film Son of Dracula, directed by Robert Sidemack and starring Lon Chaney Jr., Robert Page, not that one, Louisa Albritton, and Evelyn Ankers to U.S. theaters. It is the third in Universal Studios' Dracula trilogy, preceded by Dracula and Dracula's Daughter.
And would never be eclipsed until Gerard Butler stepped in for Dracula 2000. 1963, archaeologists find Viking ruins at La Annexe aux Meadows in Newfoundland that predate Columbus's landing by 500 years, and they didn't kill anybody. Well, at least not as many.
1967, NASA launches the ATS-3 communication satellite. It will remain in service longer than any other satellite in history, remaining active for over 28 years. It will return the first photographs of the full Earth disk, which is circular.
1974. Round. Atari releases the duck hunting game Quack to arcades. The game is notable for being among the first games to feature a single-player mode with enemies with basic artificial intelligence.
Same day, same year, Key Games, a wholly owned subsidiary of Atari, releases the Tank arcade game in North America. Apparently, only games with exclamation points were allowed to be released on this day.
1988, in the U.S., the Video Piracy Protection Act is signed into law by U.S. President Ronald Reagan. The law prohibits the, quote, wrongful disclosure of videotape rental or sale records outside the ordinary course of business, and no one ever went to a dealer room.
1989, FO-12, the first Japanese amateur satellite developed by the Japan Amateur Radio League and the NEC Corporation, is taken out of service due to a battery failure.
1990, United States President George H.W. Bush signs the Launch Services Purchase Act into law. The act is a reversal of the space shuttle monopoly, orders NASA to purchase launch services for its primary payloads from commercial providers whenever such services are required in the course of its activities.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When there's one company that has successfully put everything in space from our country, I'm thinking it's okay to have a monopoly.
No, man, I want Spirit Spaceways.
It's all great until you start getting Acme brand fittings on them.
Welcome to JetBlue, where nothing could possibly go wrong.
Welcome to Jet Black. 1991, Mayor Tom Bradley of Los Angeles, California, and Mayor Xavier Suarez of Miami, Florida, officially declare the day Nintendo Fun Day.
1994, the NASA robotic space probe Ulysses completes its first passage behind the sun, and that's when the book got interesting.
The sirens, they sure were hot in that. 1995, GameFAQs, a website that hosts a large database of profiles and walkthroughs of video games, is launched by Jeff CJC Veazey.
1998, Avadas Tavanian, a senior vice president at Apple Computer, testifies that Microsoft tried to intimidate Apple into abandoning the development of its QuickTime software, which directly competes with Microsoft's own media player, of which no one knows the name.
Here's a clever idea. Microsoft, make a better product. Look, Media Player was great for playing lots of stuff, but QuickTime, it was just better.
Hey, look, Microsoft is living on the edge.
Now they just can't help themselves from falling. 1999, U.S. District Judge Thomas Penfield Jackson issues his 207-page findings of fact, ruling that Microsoft has a monopoly on operating systems in the Intel-compatible personal computer market. The ruling further finds that Microsoft has engaged in anti-competitive behavior, using its power to restrict competition and harm American consumers. The ruling is a pivotal victory in the long-running antitrust trial that represents a major setback for Microsoft.
And Avadas Tavanian said, "Told you so." 2001, Nintendo began shipping the GameCube and six game titles. Of course, it's $200 for the GameCube. The six game titles would be roughly $250.
2003, Microsoft establishes a $5 million fund for tracking down hackers who target the company's Windows operating systems, including a $500,000 bounty for information leading to the arrest of the individual or group who unleashed the MS Blast and SOBIG viruses.
Same day, same year, Voyager 1 exits the solar system some 26 years after its launch and over 8 billion miles from Earth and will come back looking for the creator in 2273.
And in celebration of that, Warner Brothers chose to release the sci-fi action film The Matrix Revolutions, directed by the Wachowski brothers and starring Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, Carrie Ann Moss, and Hugo Weaving, showcasing that it turns out Voyager 1 would provide a better dystopia.
What happened happened, and couldn't have happened any other way. 2004, Buena Vista Pictures releases the animated film The Incredibles, directed by Brad Bird, featuring the voice talents of Craig T. Nelson, Holly Hunter, Sarah Vowell, Spencer Fox, Jason Lee, Brad Bird, Samuel L. Jackson, and Elizabeth Peña.
So good. And that same day, a trailer for the film Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, premieres before The Incredibles, giving many Star Wars fans their last hope.
I thought I saw that in front of Watchmen Light. 2006, according to surveys conducted by Netcraft Limited, the internet reaches the milestone size of 100 million websites for the first time on this day at the end of the year in which roughly 27.4 million sites had been created. The number indicated the internet had doubled in size since May of 2004.
And of course, 972 million of those websites are porn. The other 28,000 are cat videos. 2007, China's first lunar satellite, Chang'e 1, enters orbit around the moon.
Same day, same year, Google introduces Android, a mobile operating system for cell phones. There was an update 10 minutes later.
I want to know why they're named after candy. 2013, India launches the Mars Orbiter mission, its first interplanetary probe.
But not its last. Birthdays?
Sebastian Arcealis, 43 from The Leftovers, Madam Secretary, split.
Sam Rockwell is 51 from Teenage Mutant, Ninja Turtles, Green Mile, Galaxy Quest, Charlie's Angels, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Moon.
Oh, so many things, he's so good. Famke Janssen's 54 from Deep Rising, The Faculty, X-Men, Tooken, Hemlock Grove, House on Haunted Hill. But let's face it, I think everybody can agree that her best character, the best ability, was in Goldeneye.
She was on a top. Tilda Swinton is 59 from Vanilla Sky, Constantine, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Doctor Strange, Suspiria.
Robert Patrick is 61 from Terminator 2, Wayne's World, Fire in the Sky, X-Files, Striptease, The Faculty, Bridge to Terabithia, and The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Armin Shimerman is 70 from Deep Space Nine, Principal Snyder in Buffy, Kramer's Caddy on Seinfeld, Billy and Mandy, Ratchet and Clank, and Bioshock.
Born this day, no longer with us, 1900, Natalie Schaefer, she was Lovey Howell on Gilligan's Island.
1905, Joel McRae from The Most Dangerous Game, Sullivan's Travels, Ride the High Country, in which he starred with Randolph Scott.
1911, Roy Rogers, King of the Cowboys, and known communist.
His burger's not that bad. 1922, Violet Barclay, illustrator best known as one of the pioneering female comic book artists, having started in the field during the 1930s.
When she was eight.
And 1940, Elka Sommer, A Shot in the Dark, Casino Royale, and 10 Little Indians. On CBS, we've got a new NCIS, a rerun of FBI, and an NCIS Nope.
ABC, The Wonderful World of Disney presents The Little Mermaid, Live! Then Joe and Benny conduct an investigation into the death of Kindred's former business partner on a new emergence.
I totally watch like a Frankenstein mermaid situation.
Right?
Dope. NBC has Knockouts Part 2 on the new The Voice, This Is Us. And when Kapoor introduces a patient to Iggy's PTSD group, a creative treatment plan and ultimately leads to chaos on a new Amsterdam.
Fox, it's a new The Resident. Then Lucius continues to fixate on the past as he attempts to make amends with an old friend on a new empire.
CW, a new The Flash and Oliver. Oliver and Team Arrow insist on taking down a mysterious new Deathstroke themselves when the villain shows up in Star City on a new Arrow.
I'm here to get you, blah!
Freeform is showing that, oh my god, I can't believe they made a sequel that was probably better than the original and fantastic on its own right, Toy Story 2.
No kidding. AMC has Vegas Vacation.
FX, the need for justice ignites tough decisions for the Reyes brothers and the Motorcycle Club on Mayans, MC.
Yeah, again, it's just the same definition could be for the whole series. FXX Simpsons Marathon, See Homer Run, E Pluribus Wiggum, the old blue mayor, she ain't what she used to be.
FXM has The Wolverine. No longer a Wolverine, The.
Yeah, well, yeah, you gotta be specific anymore.
Damn right.
So many of them. IFC, Tooken.
Oh, with Famke Janssen. Paramount Network has a new Ink Master.
Siffy has Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer's Package.
TBS says, how did it get in there on a new The Misery Index, but we're watching
Silver Surfer's Package.
Lifetime Movie Network. When a mother allows the fun and games at her daughter's house party to escalate, murder and chaos turn out to be the deadly consequences. Krista Allen, Elsie Luthman, and Megan Ward star in Party Mom.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad gets involved with a married woman whose husband is very possessive, which proves that you can take the boy out of the soap opera. The woman's husband gives Chad a warning about his safety. Abby gives Chad a warning about his safety. But you know how Chad is, acting like a hero? Oh, baby, he will not be anyone spawn. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Why, no we don't, because now everybody's like, but wait a minute, Chad and Abby come back to the show next week. What's gonna happen? Well, Days of Our Lives is doing a time jump, so we can still play our game, because this will still be the other places they were before they came back, which is next week for us, but God knows how long in the actual timeline. Now I'm confused. Timey-wimey. If you've got the slightest idea, by all means, let us know. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you could always just give us a voicemail by calling
510-GRD-CROW.
Good for me. I pushed the right button.
Haven't been listening to the RevCast? Here's what you're missing.
The sharks have an economy based on gold?
Apparently.
He has a shark, like, decked out like Mr. T with the bling all over.
Oh, now I want to see that. I want somebody to draw a picture of a shark with a mohawk. I pity the fool.
I'm done. The RevCast by RevolutionSF.com. Available at RevolutionSF.com, iTunes, and part of the ESO network.
This is Tom O'Pennicott talking, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
You are. He said more things, but I had to bleep it because, well, you know, our eyes locked and whatnot.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
No, you just buy them and collect them and never watch them, which is weird. What can you never watch that's out today, sir?
In our TV aisle, we've got Pop Team Epic Season 1.
You sure that's not anime? Yellowstone Season 2.
Good Omens. Oh, so fantastic.
So good. Castlevania Season 2, the show we waited a year and a half for.
Yeah, the first season was really good.
Second season,
Ace
good too.
Ace Attorney Season 2, Part 2.
Must be anime based on title alone. Shonen Maid, the complete series.
Yu Yu Hakusho, the complete second season.
Restaurant to Another World, the complete series.
In our knockoffs aisle, we have Funny Little Cars, Adventures in the Little Oaza. Is this the movie where a Jerry Seinfeld sound-alike voices a character named Thunder Dean?
In our regular movies department, Leo da Vinci, Mission Mona Lisa. He was a spy.
That sounds like a porn. A Dragon Adventure.
Sounds like a porn. Yens!
Corporate Animals.
SAF 3 2 Under Pressure.
I understand it's the Ice Ice Baby of movies. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which is when I'm so stoked to come out to video because I didn't get a chance to see it in theater.
Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw, which I am not stoked in the slightest to see.
I want to see it, but I am not stoked to see it. We've also got The Kitchen.
as well as ambition, but come on, we're getting the story of muscle-bound Blake Thorne, who's made a vast fortune marketing health food and health supplements. Once a nice guy, but as his wealth increases, he becomes self-centered and decadent. One day, he gets into a great paint gun fight that goes too far. He escapes the cops by running into a shopping mall, quickly donning a Santa suit and pretending to be Saint Nick. Then a head injury causes him to suffer amnesia, and an opportunistic elf decides to convince Blake that he is indeed Santa, which leads him to help saving an orphanage filled with adorable Muppets from the machinations of a greedy, insane doctor. Ed Begley Jr., Garrett Morris, Mila Kunis, Clint Howard, and Hulk Hogan star in Santa with Muscles.
I'm not wearing any pants.
Wait.
Film at 11. There's
Games and News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Diablo 4 is coming. Blizzard said so, finally confirming the much-anticipated sequel after years of speculation.
I sense a soul in search of answers.
A new cinematic trailer for the game showed a group of treasure hunters fighting against what could be demons or private equity executives.
Yo, man, you need some mana? I got you some mana.
Blizzard says the game takes place many years after the events of Diablo 3, after millions have been slaughtered by the actions of the high heavens and burning hells alike in the vacuum of power, a legendary name resurfaces.
Leroy Jenkins.
On stage at BlizzCon 2019, director Louis Baraga talked about how the game will aim to recreate the series' dark roots, which some fans thought had been lost in the last Diablo game, and blah blah blah. There's no release date for it yet. It'll be on PC, PS4, Xbox One. The first three class announcements are familiar ones: the Barbarian, the Sorceress, and the Druid.
Barbarian needs food badly.
This is the fourth mainline entry in the long-running hack and loot series, which began in 96. The most recent, Diablo 3, came out in May 2012, had a rocky launch, but became one of the most popular PC games of all time. The new one has no release date of any kind yet.
Make sure your internet connection is ready for the single player missions.
Soon, we once again can travel together into the East. Always into the East.
This past April, a massive 80-foot steel kraken was purposefully sunk into the Caribbean Sea on top of a decorated World War II ship. The former Navy fuel barge and its monstrous passenger were placed underwater in order to jumpstart a new coral ecosystem, while also serving as a cutting-edge education center for marine researchers and local students from the surrounding British Virgin Islands. The project is titled the BVI Art Reef and aims to use sculptures like the porous kraken as a base to grow transplanted coral.
The kraken stirs, and 10 billion sushi dinners cry out for vengeance!
The Kodiak Queen, formerly a Navy fuel barge named Yo 44, instead of letting the historic vessel get picked apart for scrap metal, Buggy approached former boss Sir Richard Branson about collaborating on a restorative art installation. Together with nonprofit Unite BFI, artist group Secret Samurai Productions, social justice entrepreneurial group Maverick 1000, and ocean education nonprofit Beneath the Waves, the project has established as both an eco-friendly art installation and a philanthropic measure to rehabilitate native marine species.
Careful. The Kraken is wagging its tentacle again.
That's not its tentacle. To sink the massive ship, the project sought the help of the commercial dive services, who safely submerged the vessel off the coast of the island Virgin Gorda. It was the first time the ship has been in the water for nearly 17 years and was led to its final resting place by a sea convoy of boats and helicopters.
It was held under the sea in a purse by Orson Welles for a million years.
Filmmaker Rob Sorrenti filmed both the construction and sinking of the Kraken and its ship. The full-length documentary is currently in post-production and an estimated release early next year. Upon hearing that the story was about coral, Rick Grimes completely misunderstood the story and was left disappointed.
So the saying goes, where there's water, there's life.
We'll find you, Moonanites.
Not so fast, because seems new evidence suggests that saying, nope, might not be right. Or at least identify some harsh new parameters on where life and water may or may not be able to coexist.
What are you talking about?
To find these limits, scientists traveled to one of the most extreme and inhospitable environments on Earth, the Diloil Geothermal Springs in Ethiopia's Denakal Depression, which they called a hellish, salty underworld. It's generally considered the hottest inhabited place on the planet, but it's unique for all sorts of reasons that go beyond mere stifling heat.
Other Waterworld display is amazing.
Because of the extreme environment, the area has long fascinated scientists. One publicized research expedition in 2016 set to find out what, if anything, might be in such unwelcoming surroundings.
What if they find a real Kraken?
Oh, God. The results of that survey got published only a few months ago, with the team reporting what they said was the first evidence of life existing among the hot, acidic springs, ultra-small microorganisms measuring only nanometers in size. But now, a new study led by a separate team of scientists disputes the discovery, or at least the relevance, of the findings.
Ooh, it's like a science smackdown.
Is there life in the hyperacidic plus hypersaline Delisle pools, the researchers asked? We say no! Based on combined molecular and microscopic techniques, though, we find many airborne and human-associated contaminants.
Ooh, it's time for a slide rule duel.
In their now peer-reviewed findings, which were published this week, the team used a range of analytical methods to investigate a broad range of samples taken from the zones where the geothermal complex and three-field expeditions began in 2016 and 2018. While they detected evidence of archaea-based life too, in addition to signals of what might be bacterial gene sequencing, the team says the majority of the hits were probably a red herring. In short, scientists say they found a place on Earth where no life can thrive. Or, as I like to call it, the place we need to bury the bodies.
As men, we have no idea what it is like to have a mammogram. But from what we've heard, we are glad we do not know what it is like.
I was told it is depressing.
There may be a better way. Breast cancer could be detected 5 years before clinical signs appear in patients, thanks to a blood test that could identify the body's immune responses to tumor cells. That is the claim that has been made about research to be presented at a national cancer conference in Glasgow on Sunday. However, other cancer experts have warned these claims should be treated with caution.
F cancer! Just research this, come on.
The study is the work of researchers at Nottingham University's School of Medicine who focused on chemicals known as antigens. These are produced by cancer cells and trigger an immune response inside humans. In particular, they cause our bodies to make autoantibodies that target and try to block these invading antigens.
My antigen never invaded any damn thing.
Researchers want to know if they could detect the presence of specific autoantibodies in patients and show whether they had been triggered by antigens from tumor cells. So the team took blood samples from 90 patients newly diagnosed with breast cancer. They compared them with the samples taken from a control group of 90 patients without breast cancer. Then the group screened the blood samples to see if they could detect the autoantibodies triggered by tumor antigens. The researchers correctly identified breast cancer in 37% of blood samples taken from affected patients. Crucially, they were also able to show that there was no cancer in 79% of samples from the control group.
They're like booby sommeliers. Their results, I cautiously say, sound promising.
The results are considered to be highly encouraging by the group, which says they indicate that it will be possible to detect early breast cancer this way. Other researchers have urged caution in interpreting these results. These are clearly very preliminary data, said Cambridge University cancer epidemiologist Professor Paul Farrow and noted buzzkill. A lot more research would be needed before any claim could be made that this is likely to represent a meaningful advance in the early detection of cancer.
Right. So, F cancer and do more research.
The Nottingham team is now testing samples from 800 patients and expect the accuracy of the test to improve with these larger numbers. In addition, a similar test for lung cancer is being tested in a randomized controlled trial in Scotland involving 12,000 people at high risk of developing lung cancer because they smoke. Participants who test positive for the autoantibodies are to have a CT scan every 2 years in order to detect lung cancer in its early stages when it is easier to treat. So keep working, science. We need to save the tatas because we want to save lives. No joke needed. F cancer.
Matt Reese, a 36-year-old San Francisco artist, decided last year to sell a hovercraft he made so he could move on to other things, including paying off his student loans.
Well, I already own a hovercraft, so why do I want his used one?
It's a DeLorean hovercraft.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Totally awesome. Wait. Does it need plutonium to run?
The unique hovercraft looks like a floating DeLorean, but it's actually made of sculpted styrofoam with a fiberglass shell and metallic paint. Lift comes from a 24-inch fan powered by a 6-horsepower lawnmower engine, while thrust is provided by a 36-inch fan powered by a 23-horsepower Briggs & Stratton twin-cylinder utility engine. Reese says the hovercraft has a top speed of 31 miles per hour, so there will be no accidental time traveling.
but still some serious shit.
When Reese decided to sell the hovercraft, he generated media attention by creating a website and highlight video. The DeLorean was featured in numerous newspapers. It was on TV on a Discovery Channel's Outrageous Acts of Science, on an ABC News segment of Bartell's Backroads, which won an Emmy Award, but it didn't sell. Reese thought he had a buyer at eBay on one point, but the deal fell through. Subsequent attempts to sell it were also unsuccessful.
Well, because they don't have the money, butthead.
Reese has made the most of his additional time with the hovercraft. He took it to the San Francisco Giants baseball game, cruised around McCovey Cove, he hovered to a deserted island, tooled around with a reporter from the San Francisco Chronicle, made a few bucks by renting it for use in a couple of music videos, including Electric Guest's Dollar, and if you go watch it, be careful, it has an explicit tag.
Gosh darn tootin' it does.
After appearing on Jay Leno's Garage in September, the hovercraft, along with his custom trailer, he put it up on the block again, and it sold yesterday for $22,250. While we are sad we did not get it, we really hope you blast your Huey Lewis and Chuck Berry as you party it up, and for your sake, we certainly hope this damn thing isn't heavy. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, nice safe, free put a license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, some of the ones at geekradio.com. All the words are there. I promise you, every single one. They really are. It's a craft. It's a thing I do, being nonsensical but making sense to myself. And if you doubt, please tell us all about it. Drop a note, won't you? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can try practicing it fast yourself and send us a voicemail of that. Just dial the magic number of
510-GRD.
So get out there and have yourself some fun. And don't forget, there's a time jump on Days of Our Lives next week. Oh, my gosh! Oh!
Blah, 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 blah.
This is no respectable establishment.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
Good night, suckers!
Well, folks, I am out of here.
You're not gonna die on the planet, guy.
I'm not? What's my last name?
It's
Nobody knows! You know why? Because my character isn't important enough for a last name. Because I'm gonna die. 5 minutes in?
Guy, you have a last name.
Do I? Do I?
Yes.
For all you know, I'm just crewman number 6. Bobby! Bobby! Bobby!
Are we there yet?
Bobby!
Bobby!
Don't open that! It's an alien planet! Is there air? You don't know!